Blog Talk Radio.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, soldier, scientist, scholar. Blog Talk Radio's finest. Not so mad science on Black Hole Radio. Black Hole Radio. Black Hole Radio. Black
Hole Radio. Black Hole Radio. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to tonight's edition of Not So Mad Science, coming to you live from the city of Detroit. Just because Berry Gordy took Motown to L.A. does not mean Detroit has lost its soul. Today is April 20th, 2021, forever to be known as George Floyd Tuesday. We were blessed to hear that the police officer who kneeled on the neck of George Floyd for a little more than 9 minutes was found guilty on all three counts. He now will be sentenced in roughly 8 weeks, so he'll spend 8 more weeks of freedom at home before he is sentenced, where he will then be sentenced to anywhere as little as 14 years to 40 years. So it will be very interesting to see where the rubber really meets the road in terms of the sentencing for the murder of our brother George Floyd. But I caution you all, as happy an occasion as this would appear to be and sound to be, let us pause, reflect, recall, understand, and then create a new paradigm in our thinking. We got justice for Rodney King. But what changed after the beating of Rodney King? All the evidence was there and available. Officers were charged. A couple of them were convicted. But what changed as a result of the massive beating of Rodney King? That we are now here today celebrating the of the conviction of Officer Chauvin for the murder of George Floyd. We'll know for real in 8 weeks when the rubber meets the road how much time they give him and where he is then sent to do that time. Let us not get lost in the applesauce and wait to see what the hot sauce really is. Because there's more than just George Floyd. There are others who must be called to task for the murder of young black men for something as little as selling a loose cigarette with Eric Garner in New York, when an illegal chokehold was used to choke that man to death and they were let off. So let us give thanks and say praise, all praises due to Allah here in this month of Ramadan, that this degree of justice was offered But let us not forget, this road is not smooth. It is lumpy, bumpy, gritty, and dirty. And it's going to take the collective will and mind of Black America to smooth it out. No justice, no peace is something more than just walking in the streets. Pool your resources. Come together and set the Black agenda. You got faith in Mr. Biden and his vice president to take positive steps? Let us set the Black agenda and demand that they address it and put it into action. Then we will see whether justice exists in America for the Black man and woman. Let us be mindful. If this is step one, we're going to have to break an ankle to make sure that we get to step two. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. We're going to take a dive into the pool of COVID-19 and the associated vaccines and bring an update to see where we're at, what's been happening, what's been done. So since I'm domiciled here in the state of Michigan, I'm going to start off with some information and a conversation about COVID-19 here in the state of Michigan. Just recently in the Defender, the Children's Health Defense News and Views publication, an article was penned. We want to take a look at that article. We want to take a step into the deep end. Megan Redshaw. 246 vaccinated Michigan residents who were previously diagnosed with COVID. Of that, 3 are dead, according to the state health department record. The latest Michigan Department of Health and Human Services data include what is called breakthrough cases reported between January 1st and March 31st. So since we know as many as 246 residents that were fully vaccinated against COVID were later on diagnosed with the virus. And of those 246 state residents, 3 have already died. According to the Detroit News, these 246 breakthrough cases were reported between January 1st and March 31st. So that number has since gone up. But we're going to work with that right now. So your first question to me is, Brother Harold, what are you talking about, breakthrough cases? What the hell does that mean? I'm here to tell you. That's my job. Breakthrough. States that are reporting growing numbers of COVID cases among people that are already vaccinated. The state of Washington, Florida, South Carolina, Texas, New York, California, and Minnesota have all reported breakthrough cases of COVID-19. The Washington State Department of Health announced last Tuesday it is investigating reports of people who tested positive for COVID more than 2 weeks after being fully vaccinated against the disease. According to the KIRO Channel 7 News, which is a CBS affiliate in Washington. The Department of Health is investigating reports of the so-called breakthrough cases, which it said are expected with any vaccine.
Okay.
Each case was confirmed with a polymerase chain reaction test, a PCR. Now, for those who do not understand the biology and chemistry of terms, I'm going to explain that. The PCR, the polymerase chain reaction, is a test designed specifically to give an assay or an accounting of a vaccine or virus that it is targeted towards. Okay? So, the polymerase chain reaction test, or a positive antigen test more than 2 weeks after the person has been fully vaccinated, has been reported. A majority of people with confirmed vaccine breakthrough experience mild to severe symptoms, if any. However, since February 1st of this year, 8 people with the vaccine breakthrough cases had to be hospitalized, and the Washington State Department of Health is investigating 2 potential vaccine breakthrough cases where the patients died within a day of recontracting the disease after being vaccinated. Now, they're saying that this complication is because both patients were more than 80 years old and they suffered underlying health issues. However, people are being told, particularly the elderly, to go get vaccinated to protect themselves. And as we know, most of our senior citizens all are taking medication for one thing or another heavily. They're not healthy. They're surviving on drugs of some type. So there are underlying health conditions. But your marketing plan is pushing this vaccine for them to take. And the more senior you are, the more likely your underlying health condition begin to play a heartier role in your overall health ability. As a result, the vaccine is more of a danger than a help. Now, Washington isn't the only state reporting breakthrough cases like that. Florida, again, South Carolina, Texas, New York, California, Minnesota have all reported cases of the fully vaccinated people, including Michigan, are now testing positive and becoming ill with COVID as a result of the vaccine not providing the protective shield that they say it does. Dr. Sunil Joshi, who is president of the Duval County Medical Foundation, compared the COVID vaccine to the flu vaccine. It's like the flu shot, he says, for instance. We know we encourage people to get the flu vaccine. That doesn't mean you're not going to get the flu. So my question then becomes, why am I taking a vaccine to protect myself against something that I'm still likely to catch? The difference in this is that the flu vaccine uses either very weak or dead flu or influenza bacteria. supposedly, as a result of taking the flu shot, the disease is significantly lessened. So the whole goal for this is that from the very beginning has been to keep people out of the hospital. And so anything positive after the vaccine is not unusual. But it can happen. And no one knows who's going to happen to. In Charleston, South Carolina, the Department of Health and Environmental Control identified 134 breakthrough cases in those persons that were fully vaccinated across the state. In the past month alone, Roper Street Francis Healthcare treated 4 patients in the hospital and were aware of 10 other breakthrough cases that did not need hospitalization. However, these people were fully vaccinated. They caught the virus, but they took the virus home and exposed other people to the virus because they believed they were shielded and they were not. Now, according to Dr. Kent Stock of the DHEC, the Department of Health and Environmental Control, all of these individuals we identify who get infected or even hospitalized despite receiving 2 doses, that virus will be sent on to the DEH for further analysis. Now, Dr. Stock is an infectious disease physician. The question is this reinfection a phenomenon? I say thee nay. It is not a phenomenon. It is, if you will, an accountant. They will call it an expected fiduciary issue. They know people are going to get sick anyway. So why are you marketing it so heavily as the only way to get protection and knowing that they're not going to be protected? In Wichita Falls, Texas, 7 vaccine breakthrough cases were reported this past Monday in those who were fully vaccinated against COVID. And of those 7 cases, 6 of them had the Pfizer vaccine and 1 had the Moderna, who showed the complications of organ issues as a result of the Pfizer and blood clot issues as a result of the Moderna. Dr. Amy Sagan, who is the assistant health director of the Wichita Falls, Wichita County Public Health District, said, "We've been watching that since the very beginning, since the vaccination started. And so we started noticing it was just maybe 1 per week, 2 per week. Now we are at 7 every week are popping up in the state, in Wichita County, in the state of Texas. Every week, another 7 people are popping up that are being reinfected for those who you said, as a result of the vaccine, they were protected." So out of caution, the state is reviewing the cases to see if they have anything in common. Of course they do. They all were vaccinated. Chris Escherman, who is the state's infectious disease director, said a cluster of cases vaccinated at the same time could suggest a handling problem with the vaccine or that a lot was tainted. Really? When asked about Minnesota's vaccine breakthrough cases during a White House press briefing on March 26th of this year, Dr. Anthony Fauci, President Biden's chief medical advisor, said, "This is something that we're taking seriously and follow closely." You're taking it seriously and you're following it closely So you're rolling the dice with other people's lives, but you're leaving them no legal recourse or any means to address the debt. According to Fox News, a Long Island, New York woman tested positive for COVID Tuesday of last week, more than a month after receiving her second dose of the Moderna vaccine meant to protect against the virus. A Dr. Rosen said, "I was shocked. I'm one of the," supposedly Dr. Rosen says that this person was one of 4.9% that got the Moderna vaccine and actually got COVID. So out of every 100 or every 1,000, 4.9% of every 1,000, that's roughly 40 people out of every 1,000 are still going to get sick with the vaccine. And of that number, 2%, 1.9 and change, will die. That's a very, very large number. So 10 deaths roughly out of every 1,000? Really? On March 23rd letter to the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, 8 physicians reported on a study they conducted on breakthrough cases at the University of California, San Diego, and the University of California, Los Angeles health systems. According to the letter, UCLA instituted an optional testing program on December 26th of last year for asymptomatic healthcare workers using the PCR nasal testing in an effort to detect asymptomatic SARS-CoV-2 infections after vaccination. From December 16, 2020 through February 9th of this year, a total of 36,659 healthcare workers received the first dose of a COVID vaccine, and 28,184 of these persons, or roughly 77%, received the second dose. Among those vaccinated, 379 people tested positive for COVID at least one day after vaccination, and their majority, 71%, tested positive within the first 2 weeks after the first dose. So after receiving both vaccinations, 37 healthcare workers still tested positive. And they were asymptomatic before taking the vaccine. Wow. According to the study, the risk of testing positive for COVID after vaccination has been 90.97% and 1.19%, so roughly 1% to 1.2% rates higher than the risk reported in the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine trials. So the data from the trials is wrong. The paperwork that they submitted to the federal government to get the emergency usage is incorrect. Those numbers were actually higher. Now, as the Children's Health Defense News and Views reported in December of 2020, one explanation for the breakthrough cases in fully vaccinated people may be the use of polyethylene glycol, PEG, in mRNA COVID vaccines like Moderna and Pfizer. So the first question that needs to be asked then after finding that out is, what the hell is polyethylene glycol? And why am I getting sick as a complication of the polyethylene glycol? I think that's a very good question. To my memory, I mean, I took chemistry and physics and biology and all like everybody else. I know that polyethylene glycol is a dangerous, inactive ingredient. With that said, I'm going to let that simmer on you for a moment, and we're going to hit the train whistle. As that train goes by, we're going to take a small break. I need a little bit of water because my throat is parched. So I'm going to leave you with something that tells you to keep on. Don't let go. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's hope still on the horizon. And there's a way through the forest so that you can see the trees. A little D-Train.
This is a DJ Skate. Cool Smash. Cool Smash.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. I want to tell you what polyethylene glycol is. Now, let there be no mistake. Polyethylene glycol is a polyether or polyether compound derived from petroleum, with many applications from the industrial manufacturing to medicine. It's also known as PEG. PEG is known as a polyethylene oxide or a polyoxyethylene, depending on its molecular weight. Now, I'm not going to read the chemical structure on it right now because most of you wouldn't know what the hell I was talking about in the first day of place. But here are some of the medical uses that polyethylene glycol is used for. A lot of laxatives, Miralax to be one, whole bowel irrigation with polyethylene glycol, and added electrolytes is used for bowel preparation before surgery. So they shoot a little petroleum up your bunkie, and it makes it slick, and everything just slides down. PEG is also used as an excipient in many pharmaceutical products. An excipient is a substance formulated along with the active ingredients of a medication, included for the purpose of long-term stabilization, bulking up solid formulations that contain potent active ingredients in small amounts. What that means is it's a filler. They're adding it to give more body to something that otherwise would appear to be very thin. It is also used in medicine for treating something called disimpactation and maintenance therapy for children who are constipated. Eat a little too much peanut butter, you get backed up, you can't take a poop. They shoot a little polyethylene glycol up in you and relieve your bowels. It is also used when attached to various protein medications. It allows a slowed clearance of the carried protein or medication from the blood. And this is where things really start to get interesting. The possibility that polyethylene glycol could be used to fuse axons in the brain is being looked at by researchers studying the peripheral nerve and spinal cord injuries. They want to use a, They want to use a petroleum filament to bridge the gap between axons in the brain and to the spinal cord to transmit signals on. Petroleum. So, let's take a look at what happens. What are some of the reactions that people have to polyethylene glycol? The common side effects of exposure to polyethylene glycol is irritation of the rectum, sleep disorders, excessive thirst, nausea, stomach cramps, abdominal bloating, a feeling of general discomfort called malaise. You got the blahs, You just can't move. You don't want to get out of the bed. You just blah. Or intense abdominal pain. That's what polyethylene glycol does in your body. It doesn't take a whole lot to do it. It just needs to be there. So, what does that tell us? We are now brought to having to understand, and I'm starting to have a little bit of trouble here with my electronics, and there we go. Okay, we got a little bit of movement here. Okay. 1 year ago, this past September, it was already known and understood that polyethylene glycol is a dangerous, inactive ingredient. So dangerous that retired United States Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Harold R. Gillo penned an article which stated, consumers often have the need to check a product's ingredients. And this is especially true for those with allergies to certain substances. Such access to product information is essential for individuals to protect themselves from harm by exposure to ingredients which may have known sensitivities. For the most part, such labeling is sufficient for those impacted. However, when the vast majority of the population has a pre-existing immune response to an ingredient classified as biologically inert or inactive by the government, that should raise concerns. This is because an immune response or allergic reaction is a major cause of the adverse medical events, some of which can be life-threatening, such as in the case of anaphylactic shock. When this same substance is a key component of a vaccine that is potentially legally mandated to all combat troops on a worldwide pandemic, our concerns should be commensurately raised. When the vast majority of those who have an immune response to the substance do not realize what they are allergic to and therefore cannot reasonably be expected to avoid it, we have the potential for a medical crisis within a medical crisis. So why are there so many adverse reactions to the vaccine? Scientific studies to quantify the seriousness of the problem estimate that approximately 72% of the U.S. population has an acquired anti-PEG antibody, therefore saying over 72% of the population will have an adverse reaction to the vaccine because they are all encased in a polyethylene glycol base. So just what is this dangerous inactive ingredient? I'm going to say it again. Polyethylene glycol, otherwise known as PEG. Sometimes hidden under the name Marcogol or hidden in the name Carbowax and many other names when combined with other substances is not a household word unless your household's biochemist classified as biologically inert by the FDA. It is the so-called gold standard for use in many medications to increase the blood clearance time, or in other words, the time it remains in one's system. thereby enhancing the drug's effect. So it's a suspension. It is also used in drug manufacturing as an excipient for long-term stabilization, bulking, and other so-called therapeutic enhancements. It is used as a coating to prevent bacterial adhesion on orthopedic screws and sutures so that your skin doesn't stick to it. In addition to other medical uses, polyethylene glycol is also used in cosmetics, foods, industrial applications, and other health and beauty products such as soap, shampoos, and toothpaste. It is also used as an e-cigarette liquid. Now, those of you who are ardent followers of Not So Mad Science know from a little more than a year ago to 2 years ago, the directed, specific, and targeted shows that were produced on Not So Mad Science with respect to the dangers of e-cigarette liquids and the chemicals that were used in e-cigarettes that make them far more dangerous than regular cigarettes. PEG is everywhere in our environment, which is what many have surmised has led to a high percentage of the U.S. population developing the anti-PEG antibodies. This, of course, presents a significant challenge to those who rely on this substance in their manufacturing. So instead of taking it out and doing it differently, they hide it under other names that you do not directly associate with the chemical nature of it being a petroleum-based product. Again, scientific studies to quantify the seriousness of the problem estimate that approximately 72% of the U.S. population has an issue with polyethylene glycol. The reference study used blood samples taken from 1990 to 1999 and earlier, showing a steady increase over time in the percentage of those with antibodies to PEG, making it conservative to estimate after two decades that the incidence is closer to 80% of the population. That means 80% of the people in the entire country are going to have a severe to major reaction to taking the vaccine, regardless of which one you take, because it's used and floated and coated with polyethylene glycol. Outstanding. This circumstance has concerned the medical and pharmaceutical communities as an equally effective alternative, or rather I should say as an equally effective alternative has escaped identification, although several have been suggested. And because of the great cost of shifting to such an alternative appears to be fiduciarily and financially high, they choose to change the name, but play the same goddamn game. I'm not going to apologize to my language, because if you dumb enough, stupid enough to take the damn vaccine, just go ahead and step aside, step in front of a train and drop dead. You're getting in the way of those who are trying to fight the good fight. So, not only is polyethylene glycol, PEG, a stealth medicinal additive, stealth meaning they're hiding it, delaying blood clearance due to its properties, but is also a stealth allergen. So you shouldn't chew on plastic. the vast majority of the population never having heard of it, and many in the healthcare industry being unaware of its antigenic properties, a physician survey found, although 91% of respondents were aware of anti-drug antibodies in general, only 22% were aware of the anti-PEG antibody response, also known as APA. Further, there was limited awareness, meaning 35% of PEG inclusion in prescribed PEG-related therapeutics. So the pharmaceutical industry, in collusion and cooperation with the federal government, is knowingly killing people. The lack of awareness of this issue in the general population and in healthcare provider population present unique challenges, one of which we are facing with today's COVID-19 pandemic. There are at least 3 fast-track vaccines and a 4th one on the way or already in rotation being produced and tested at this time on people, obviously meant for widespread use. Some even arguing mandatory use, which contain PEG, Moderna's mRNA 1273, the BioNTech Pfizer BNT162B1 and its B2 variant, Johnson & Johnson's, what's the other name that they use? Shucky Ducky Quack Quack, I can't remember what it is at the moment. But it's the Johnson & Johnson product. These mRNA vaccines trick your cells into producing COVID-19 proteins, pieces of the virus which are supposedly non-infectious. These proteins then elicit an immune response supposedly to fight the real virus. Thus, any pegylated lipid nanoparticle as the delivery mechanism for the NRA. So that this is what they use, a pegylated lipid nanoparticle. So they've stuck a chip in nanoparticles. Let's not hide behind the names now, folks. Some of us know how to read. These are the general delivery mechanisms for the mRNA. So think of the LNP as a minuscule, less than 100 billionth of a meter bubble containing the M or the mirror RNA. This bubble is coated with polyethylene glycol, DSPE-MPEG-2000, in Moderna's case. That's the chemical signature of what they use, the one that they're using. They use it to stabilize the carrier and assist it in getting to and into the target cells. So they're coating your cells on a genetic level with plastic. What's wrong with you? You prognostic, peppy prognosticators. PEG is supposed to assist with the getting to portion of the journey by preventing the bubble from breaking down. Imagine, if you will, you make soap bubbles, but you coat the soap bubbles with a layer of plastic or petroleum. So even while you're poking it, it's no longer a bubble that's going to burst. It's a balloon, as if it was blown up with air. You can't pop it. And this is what's floating around in your system on the hundred billionth of a level. Supposedly, this is done before it reaches the target cell. This is what some call PEG's stealth, its ability to mask and protect the carrier from the body's normal defenses against foreign substances. Two obvious issues are presented, which affect the safety and efficacy by high percentages of our population having pre-existing antibodies to PEG. The safety and the efficacy is now useless. While it is true that not everyone with pre-existing PEG antibodies will have a severe reaction to a vaccine containing PEG, there is a significant danger that many and most will, particularly if you have underlying health conditions where you're taking other medications that are similarly coated with polyethylene glycol. However, as in Moderna's trials, is not pre-screening its participants for anti-PEG antibodies. They cannot, therefore, characterize the risk. They are flying blind. They are experimenting on you, you Niedermeyers, because you're so willing to just listen and go with the program, do what NASA tells you, go along to get along, to be along, being a sheep, a puppy, and a straight-up dummy. Multiple previous studies regarding the prevalence of anti-PEG antibodies in the population have stated that pre-screening of these antibodies should be done prior to the administration of any PEG-containing medication. This is obvious for safety reasons. It is especially important in the case of a desire to vaccinate as many people as possible with a vaccine containing a substance to which the vast majority of the population may unknowingly have antibodies. Also important in this regard is that it matters in terms of its immunogenicity. What PEG is bound to do, the manner in which it is applied to the carrier, its concentration, its molecular weight, etc. Not characterizing trial participants' adverse reactions in relation to anti-PEG antibody presence and level forfeits gaining insight into these factors. After all, since taxpayers have paid almost $1 billion to assist Moderna in poisoning them, my words, in getting this vaccine tested and produce the glaring safety risk should at least be evaluated. According to Moderna, they stated that the proven fact that a higher percentage of the population having anti-PEG antibodies is hypothetical, and they are not screening for it. Efficacy is also at stake. Accounting for different levels of pre-existing anti-PEG antibodies should influence trial procedures. Safety considerations are obvious, but efficacy could be enhanced by slightly altering the protocol for participants with anti-PEG antibodies. The main efficacy concern is accelerated blood clearance due to the body's defenses recognizing the PEG antigen. it would be helpful to quantify as to what titers or levels of anti-PEG antibody accelerated blood clearance becomes a problem. So you want to know why you're bruising up and getting sick, having blood clots? It may not necessarily be the mRNA chemical signature itself. Your body is reacting to a non-organic property being introduced into its system, and it's trying to fight it. But you can keep going along to get along and think you're not going to have problems. Let's continue. Since Moderna says that the PEG antibody issue is hypothetical and they are not going to screen for it, this is another missed opportunity to protect the public. It was certainly taken into account during the trial of another vaccine that used an adenovirus. Or an adenovirus as the carrier. So such trial procedures are not unusual. They've done it before. You can do it again. And in some cases, some people, I'm not necessarily anti-vaccine for those things where vaccine is useful and effective. I'm pro-safe, effective vaccine. Not all vaccines are good for you. So it seems some basic safety and efficacy risk mitigation procedures are being ignored. And this stealth oversight appears to be intentional, as Moderna's own scientists have made note of the problem. Many have a severe anaphylactic response to PEG. Johns Hopkins University Hospital identified and confirmed its activity. But the vast majority of potentially billions of citizens around the world stated to receive the Moderna, the Johnson & Johnson, the Pfizer, and the other companies' vaccines are not forewarned. How many will be injured because they failed to investigate a dangerous inactive ingredient? Nobody knows the troubles that I see coming, and those who use their brain for something other than a hat rack inside of a calcium skull. See, do your homework. Ask questions. And if you don't know what to ask, talk to somebody that you think is smart enough to ask and help them, or let them help you framework what questions, or take them with you when you go to the doctor. You're going to these off-site free places to get vaccinated by people who cannot answer the questions. Don't be a jackass all your life. How much more are you willing to endure? How many more have to die? It's a damn shame that a man as dignified as former President Barack Obama would get on a program with Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley, who I would not give a French fry to tell me that I should take the vaccine, that they're safe, when what is readily available in public, in the public medium, says that there is a problem. And then you got nerve to quote the Tuskegee experiment, and that we should let go of the past and not look at that and just take these people's word for it? How long? Not long. There's a God on scene today. Open your eyes, because he's telling you something. You can no longer play the fool and let these people rule the way you live your life. This is Not So Mad Science, and I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. We have come to the end of this edition of tonight's program, to which I'm going to do this. We are going to hit the and no, it's not Jehovah's Witnesses. God just rang your bell. It's time for you to get off your butt and take a look at what's going on around you. So those immortal words of that great black preacher from the Abyssinian Baptist Church in the city of New York, the late, great Reverend Dr. Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith. And it be the will of Allah, I will be with you again next week. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.